this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back, brothers and sisters, and it's a good thing to be back studying God's Word together, and I'm looking forward to going over this new study that we're going to start today. This will be an introduction to study number 7A, and it's the letter G in the ABCs of Christian Growth, actually the second study in the letter G, unless by the time you've gotten to listening to this, I've added some more to the G's. There's only two at the time of this recording. And the first one is about God. That's the one we've done previously. If you've been studying in succession, just one after another, and then you've just finished up the study of God, unless I've inserted one between these. But this is the second study in the letter G, and it's going to be entitled, and our subject is going to be the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is a very important study and doctrine in the scriptures, and it's spoken of in the scriptures. And actually, the word gospel is in the scriptures, in the Holy Scriptures, in our Bibles. And we're going to go over what the Bible says and what it means when it's talking about the gospel. Now, there's a lot of different forms and a lot of different people in the world today that know the word gospel, and a lot of them say it for a whole bunch of different reasons, and we're going to go over that. But this is going to be an introduction to this study, just to get us kicked off in it, and I want to welcome you and thank you for being consistent in your study with the Word of God, whether it be here with us or whether it be somewhere else. This is the ABCs of Christian Growth, and you can find it, as I've mentioned on some of the other studies. I'm not trying to advertise this, but I'm not ashamed of it. The Lord had me put together a website called Barnhouse Ministries, and that's where all this stuff is. All these studies you can find at barnhouseministries.com, and you can go on there and you can download every one of these, all the scripture that has to do with these studies. It's all printed out for you, and it's all running parallel with the studies. Actually, the study I'm looking at right now, the gospel, I'm actually going to be teaching it right off of the pages that you can get at Barnhouse Ministries. If you want to go there and you want to download it, you can download it and use it on your computer, or you can download it and print it, or you can print it right off the site, or just whatever you want to do. And I'm actually have an audio part on that on the site also that has every one of these, that what we're actually doing right now when we finish this study. I'm going to put it right up on the site there, right in its place, in the audio portion of it. So you'll have it in audio, you'll have it in the lesson, and you'll have all the scriptures that go along with it. I mean, there's not any reason for a person not to say that there's nothing to study. There's enough truth on that site from God's Word that it easily keep you studying day in and day out for over a year. Actually, I spent 10 years up in Pennsylvania running overseeing a troubled men's camp up there, and this is the material that we taught those troubled men at 4 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the evening every single day. And they got brainwashed with the Word of God. And all it is what does the Bible say? And that's what we want to know. We're Christians. We've been born again. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. God the Father has drawn us to Him and let us believe on Him. And we're born again. We have God the Holy Ghost indwelling us. There's no reason not to honor God in our lives because He's worthy of it. And His Word is where we get everything. Now, you're clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to be affiliated with God's Word, and you're going to have to be in God's Word and learning God's Word. And I know that that's the reason that you're here and listening to this, is because you believe that also. So we're talking about the gospel. Let's get started with it. It's study number 7A, and it's the letter G, the second study in the letter G, G-2. And having said all that, You know, the gospel is spoken of in the world, and we'll go through all this a little more formally when I actually get going in it. But you got to be careful what the world loves the word gospel. They use it quite a bit. I mean, as a matter of fact, dishonest people and liars use the word gospel. You ever heard anybody say, "I swear, I mean, it's in good shape, and I mean, if you buy it, I mean, I'm telling you the gospel truth." You ever heard that before? "I'm telling you the gospel truth. This horse has got all his teeth." You know, "I'm telling you the gospel truth. This thing's, the oil's been changed in it regular, and it runs just beautiful. I mean, you're going to have a fine truck or a fine car here. That's the gospel truth." You ever heard that? You ever heard people use that? I mean, are they using it scripturally? Is that a scriptural way to use that? I mean, is that what the Bible teaches about gospel? What's the Bible teach? You know, in beginning our study of the gospel, it'd be appropriate, first of all, it'd be appropriate for us to first go over some of the definitions of the word itself. What does gospel mean? What does gospel mean? Does gospel just stand for one thing? I mean, when you say gospel, does it represent just one thing? Or what does gospel mean? When you say gospel, I mean, some people say, you know, just like I said a minute ago, people lying to you and trying to sell you a truck or sell you a horse or sell you this or try to talk you into something and lying to you and call it the gospel truth. Is that what the gospel is? Is the gospel a lie? Or what's gospel mean? We got to find out what this word gospel means. Now, the Bible does use the word. And it uses the word many times, and we're going to go over that. And you'll be surprised what's in the scriptures concerning the gospel. But what does gospel mean? So we're going to define this thing in this introduction, and just find out. I use two different dictionaries. I use one that's I don't want to say it's a worldly dictionary. It's actually Word Web Pro is what it's called. And these dictionaries you're getting nowadays, you got to be careful, because along with the vocabulary and all the different things that are going in, the changes that are going in, and the Antichrist fixing to come to power and coming in shortly, and the Lord Jesus Christ fixing to come and get us out of here, the world's language is changing. 50 years ago, words that were in a dictionary, for instance, Webster's or something like that, say 100 years ago, I use another dictionary, which I recommend, that still uses scripture, that uses scripture, is the Webster 1828 dictionary. And you can get a hold of that. I got it on my computer, and I got it, it's hard to find, but you can get it. And if you'd like to find out how to get it, just get a hold of me on the site there, and I'll show you how to get that thing. But what I like about it is that it's back whenever words were scriptural, because you'll find many places in that dictionary that it will use scriptures for definitions. When it's defining a word, it will use scriptures to display the definitions and show you in God's Word what it means. Now, that's tremendous. You're not going to find that in any updated dictionaries. I mean, I'll show you what we're talking about, and you'll see that kind of as we start defining this word gospel. So let's do that. Let's define the word from these few dictionaries I'm talking about. First of all, let's use this one, Webster's 1828, and I'm reciting it to you exactly as it's recorded in that dictionary. I'm not putting anything or adding anything. I'm showing you exactly how it's defined, and we're just going to go over and see how these definitions represent this word gospel and get kind of an oversight and just kind of get started with this thing about the gospel in our minds and find out where we're coming from when we're talking about the gospel, because you're going to find out that the gospel in the scriptures represents, I don't want to say many, but several different things, several things. And we're going to go over that. You're not going to miss a bit of it if you get in these lessons and go lesson by lesson. Webster's 1828 defines gospel. It's called evangelium. That's a Latin word, and I don't say much about Latin or Greek or all that sort of business. I speak English, and so does God, and so does our King James Bible, but it's in the definition, so I'm saying it. It's E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-U-M. Evangelism is what it is, but it's evangelium. And, the gospel means a good or joyful message. A good or joyful message. That's what that evangelium or evangelium, that's what it means, is a good and joyful message. Now, the history of the birth, here's the definition as they describing it in Webster's 1828. The history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a pretty wide spectrum right there, but it's true. It's true. Because if you're a Christian, that's the definition that you would probably be thinking of. Or a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator, including the character, actions, and doctrines of Christ, with the whole scheme of salvation as revealed by Christ and his apostles. The gospel is said to have been preached to Abraham by the promise, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, what I'm reading to you is verbatim, word for word, right out of that Webster's 1828 dictionary concerning the word gospel. Isn't that neat? You won't find that in any other dictionary. And I'm not trying to sell you a dictionary. I'm just saying, if you're going to study God's word, you need to speak Bible vocabulary. And you need to, how do I want to put it? You need to be as very close to the scriptures, and your references need to be what you reference to, like a dictionary to find definition of words needs to be as close to your Bible vocabulary as possible also. And that's what I was telling you. This one does. It does. And it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. And it don't have all that filth in it that some of these new dictionaries have in it that is unnecessary, ungodly, and just wicked, wicked. Okay, but that's the actual words that it used to define it. And that's a pretty good definition of the gospel concerning being a Christian and in a Christian's mind what the gospel is, because that does define gospel as far as what the gospel is, or one of the things that the gospel is in the scripture. But it doesn't actually define the word gospel, except for when we first begin that evangelium, a good or joyful message. Remember that as we go through these. A good and joyful message. We're defining gospel. We're not talking about what the gospel is or what a gospel is or what the gospel is or what we're defining gospel, the word gospel, a good and joyful message. Now, is there just one good and joyful message? Well, we're studying the Bible, and you're going to find out. As we go down through there, you'll see what we're talking about. I don't want to throw too much out there right now, but just staying in the definition of gospel. Okay? Now, I said this gospel, this is part of the definition that I just got through reading. This gospel is said to have been preached to Abraham by the promise, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's actually Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay, so there was some good and joyful message that was preached to Abraham, having to do with something that was coming down the pipes that God had planned. And we know what that was, and we're going to go over that as we get into more of this study, finding out what gospel, we're going to find out what gospel means, and then as we get into the study proper, we'll find out what gospel is, okay? Or what the Bible says is a good and joyful message. And it's not just what we have read so far. You'll find that out. All right. It is called the gospel of God. That's a definition also, and that's verbatim. And it actually has the scripture out beside it. You really enjoy this dictionary because, I mean, if you're using, you need a dictionary so you can study. That'll give you, I mean, if it's giving you scripture references, you can't get any better than that. It is called the gospel of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Okay, here's another definition. It is called the gospel of Christ. Now, these are right in line with one another. I'm reading verbatim right off of the definition, right off of the Webster's 1828. All right, it is called the gospel of Christ, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that's not all. It is called the gospel of salvation, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Now, this is just simply defining gospel, the word gospel, in this one dictionary so far. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you see how many different things the gospel is used for so far. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, and in definition and using scripture. But what does gospel mean? It says the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. The gospel of salvation. Well, what is gospel? Evangelium, a good or joyful message. Here's another definition that's right down below where we just finished that. It's God's word. That's how this dictionary defines gospel. God's word. Is that true? Well, we'll go over that and see. All right, what about that? What else? Well, another definition is divinity, theology. That's another definition under in this dictionary. Is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches? Is divinity and theology gospel, a definition of gospel? We'll find that out. All right, and here's another one. Any general doctrine is defined as gospel. Is that true? Well, it's in the dictionary there, but is it in the scriptures? But that's the definitions. You see that? Okay, so what we might have thought when we very first started this recording so far, whenever we said we're studying the gospel, well, what came to mind whenever you found out the title of the gospel? Well, something came to mind. The gospel. Well, that must mean we're studying. Okay, well, so far in this dictionary, defining it, have you found out something different already? Defining gospel is what we need to do to begin with. It's appropriate for us to first go over some definitions of the word, and then we can get in, and as we apply the word gospel and go into the scriptures, we can find out the differences of what the scriptures and God's word is teaching us concerning gospel and what is the gospel and what is gospel. You see that thing? You see that thing? Okay, here's another definition of gospel. It is to instruct in the gospel or to fill with sentiments of religion. That's a definition of gospel. I don't remember where I got that definition, but that's one of them. Okay. Now, here is another dictionary. We're leaving the Webster's 1828 and going into this, what is called the Word Web Pro. And it's exactly as recorded. I put it in here. Exactly as recorded. And I want you to notice something. This is a more up-to-date dictionary. It's not as far back, and it does not use scripture. That I found anywhere. I don't remember seeing scripture in this dictionary at all, but as far as not being completely and utterly corrupt like some of these dictionaries nowadays that are just really surprise you about some of the things they put in that and changing the words around and changing the definitions, and some words that were defined with one sentence now take three pages to define because of the English language being corrupted so badly. But Word Web Pro, here's exactly as recorded, gospel. It's just, it pronounces it as a noun, and in the first definition says that the written body of teachings of a religious group that are generally accepted by that group. Religious doctrine, church doctrine, or creed. That's the first definition according to thee. You see the difference in this already, dictionary already, and the one that we used prior to that does put scripture in it. You can see the difference in it. A written body of teachings. What teachings? Whose teachings? Of a religious group. What religious group? I mean, there are some religious groups the Bible teaches for you to stay away from. Religious groups that are generally accepted by that group. So they're saying anything religious or any group that is a religious group, and the doctrine or the church doctrine or religious doctrine or the creed that they accept is gospel. Is that what the Bible teaches? I mean, is what the Roman Catholics teach, is that gospel according to the Bible? What the Mormons teach, is that gospel according to the Bible? What does gospel mean? Well, according to the prior dictionary, it means a good and joyful message. Well, good and joyful doesn't lie, does it? It doesn't lead you to hell, does it? You see these things? Okay, here's the second definition in this dictionary. It says, a doctrine that is believed to be of great importance. And then it gives an example. Newton's writings were gospel for those who followed. So now we're not even talking about religious things. Gospel, according to this dictionary, can be any kind of doctrine that is believed of great importance. And that's to include Sir Isaac Newton's writings. Is that gospel? Is that what the Bible refers to as gospel? It's a definition. But does that make it true according to the scriptures? See, we're not here to study the world's business. We're here to study what does the Bible say. And that's why you see why it was important for us to get into these definitions first and see who's coming from where when it comes to what is gospel and what does gospel mean. All right, third definition, an unquestionable truth. For instance, gospel truth, or his word was gospel. Remember when we started out and I told you that about the guy wanting to buy a horse or sell a horse or sell a car, and he said, that's the gospel truth. You ever heard that said about somebody? His word, I'm telling you, my word is gospel. That's a gospel word. You ever heard that said? An unquestionable truth. That's a definition of gospel according to this dictionary. And an updated in our century or our time of living instead of the 1800s like we read prior. All right, here's another one. A genre of religious music is called the gospel. Now it's getting into music definition. Is that what the Bible says the gospel is music? Or some sort of music, a genre of religious music? Is that what the gospel is? Is that what the Bible teaches? That's what this definition says. All right. Now, we studied that as far as it gospel. All right. Here's another definition. It's the four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Christ's life and teachings. Well, you got to give it a little bit of credit, this dictionary, because it did bring Christ into the matter and his life and teachings. But is that the gospel? Is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament the only gospel in the scriptures? I mean, when you say gospel, does it always take us to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is that what the Bible teaches? That's what this definition says, but that's why it was important for us to do this and to go into these definitions first and just kind of lay a foundation about this word gospel. Because if we're going to study the gospel, we need to know what gospel means so that when we get into the Word of God, we know what we're talking about whenever it separates truths and doctrines and things like that, which it is going to do, and show us different things about gospel. Okay? All right. It says it's derived an adjective, evangelical, gospel, in and of itself means a good or joyful message. Good news, good tidings. Well, there, they got it right that time, didn't they? Because that's what the first one said. That's the only thing that's compared to the first dictionary to the second one. The first one said a good and joyful message, and this one also lays it out there saying evangelical. Remember the word evangelium? That's what that Webster 1828, I guess evangelical is the updated word for evangelium, which it says gospel in and of itself means a good or joyful message. Good news. Good tidings. So that's something we need to keep. Just go ahead and nail that down right now. And when it comes to the study that's in your heart and in your mind concerning this study of the gospel, go ahead and nail that definition down right there, because you're going to hear more and more and more of it, because that is what the gospel is. That's what gospel means. A good and joyful message. It doesn't say what the message is, doesn't say what the truth is, doesn't say what the doctrine is. It just says gospel. When you say gospel, it is a good and joyful message. Good news, good tidings. You see that thing? That's why it's important for us to know these things before we get on into it, because you ask 100 people that you know and say, unsaved, and then ask 100 people saved, what is the gospel? You're probably going to get some similarities there, and you're going to be able to nail it down to one cup. I mean, that everybody's mindset has to do with the gospel. You're not going to hear them say, well, a good and joyful message, or good news, or good tidings. Some of them you probably will, but they're going to refer to what the gospel is describing. I mean, they're not going to define gospel for you. They're going to tell you something that is the gospel, that is good news and a joyful message, rather than a definition of a gospel, of the word gospel. So there's the definitions. Gospel. Gospel is the good and joyful news of whatever the actual message is. Now, as we'll see as we get further into this study, or into our study, the scriptures speak of more than just one thing in describing it as being gospel, good news, a good and joyful message. The scriptures speak of more than just one thing in describing that word. The way we're beginning this study is in no way, shape, or form meant to take away or diminish from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's establish that to start with. Let's just get that nailed down right away. We're going over these definitions not to diminish from the Lord Jesus Christ, because without Him and all the truth around Him and His Word, there would be no gospel. no good news, no joyful message. So we're already going to lay that out there right away, okay, as we're beginning this. We're not leaving the Lord Jesus Christ or separating him from the gospel at all. He is the gospel, but when we get into the scriptures, you're going to find out a lot more is being said about gospel than just the Lord Jesus Christ. But go ahead and establish this right off, that we're not trying to diminish from the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible has already said and what history and Christmas and all the other things teach us. And the world's idea of gospel is, like I said, Christmas. I mean, the gospel comes up around December every year, you see, as far as the world is concerned, because it's good news, a good and joyful message. But they're not defining the word. They're laying it out there as the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it is. But there's more to it as we get into the study. And we as Christians that study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, want to know everything about what the Bible says about gospel. And that's why when we get into this lesson, you're going to see that. But just like I said, just to nail it down right off the bat, the way we're beginning this study is in no way, shape, or form meant to take away or to diminish from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's establish that to start with. Now, without him and all the truth around him and his word, there would be no gospel. The way the study is beginning is intended to put the student in the right frame of mind concerning what one is saying when he says gospel. The gospel of what? Good news of what? Do you see? The definition of gospel is the good and joyful news of whatever message is being delivered or brought to light. The gospel of, as you can see from the two brief definitions of gospel that we just went over a minute ago, it can be good news, good tidings, good joyful message, gospel of a variety of things. Gospel of a variety of things. If it is gospel, it is good news, good tidings, and joyful message, whatever the message is. Now, let's see how a few others describe gospel before we proceed. Here's some fellows that I just pulled up out of nowhere. I mean, I guess the Holy Ghost was leading me to them. Some of them I know and some of them I don't know. But what they say gospel is. Okay, and you're going to find a similarity in that, like we was talking about. And they're not actually going to define gospel with exception of saying that it's good tidings, glad tidings, and good news, which it is. That's the definition of gospel. But just to read it and show you what we're talking about, here's a man, Gilbert Beebe. He says, like so many Bible terms, the word gospel has been given various definitions contrary to its original and proper meaning. Okay, so he's interested in the meaning of it. But he didn't say definition. He said meaning. The word has its origin in Christ before the foundation of the world. This was contained in the promise God made before the foundation of the world in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, which says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." The gospel, the good news, or good tidings, is the declared fulfillment of that promise. So he's saying that the gospel is the fulfillment of Titus 1:2 that was promised, which is in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Is that what the gospel is? That's what he says it is. Okay, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3, reading after him some more, is found the outstanding proclamation made by the sum and substance of the good tidings, Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we said a minute ago. We'd never put anything in front of Jesus Christ. But remember, we're just beginning this study, and we're defining gospel. And you'll find that it'll flow right into where it needs to be. Jesus Christ himself, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them," now he's quoting scripture here, "to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called righteousness, the planting called tree righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." The Redeemer repeated this same proclamation of himself in the synagogue, still reading after this fellow. While this prophetical statement is often quoted, its full significance is rarely understood. In this one sweeping declaration, there is encouched not the beginning of the gospel, not a part of its fulfillment, the grand total of what the Son of Man declared on the cross. It is finished. Now, he's putting a pretty good definition out. I mean, putting a pretty good title or subject of what gospel is. And it's very scriptural, but it doesn't define gospel. He did say the words good news, good tidings, and all of that. But you see, the Greek word evangelion, there he goes, is translated gospel in the King James Version. This word, together with its rendering of good tidings, glad tidings, and preach the gospel, occurs some 108 times in the New Testament, none of which intimate anything less than finished redemption in Christ. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. But you see, we're still talking about defining gospel. And you see where he went with it? He went through the good news, the good tidings, and then gave a description of one thing in the scriptures, which is the top thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the finished redemption in Christ. He's absolutely right. But that was his description of it. There's another fellow, Jeremiah Burroughs. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him except that I just wanted to find out what he had to say about the gospel so we could put it under this definition. He says, "The gospel of Christ in general is this. It is the good tidings that God has revealed concerning Christ." He's absolutely right. But you see the similarity? You see how the definition is running in every one of what these men are saying, even though they're saying that the gospel subject is Jesus Christ and finished redemption, which they're absolutely right. But when we get into the scriptures, you're going to find out that there's a lot more gospel than just that. Okay? So that's the reason I'm saying this. I'm not at all diminishing from the Lord Jesus Christ and wouldn't dare try that or even think of it. But I'm just trying to run our introduction here through the definition first and then show you what these fellows are saying and how the definition is actually in that description of what they're saying the gospel is. You see that thing? That's what I'm trying to get you to understand and nail down to begin with, because when we get into the scriptures and we say gospel, it's not always going to be one subject, okay? So I want you to nail down what we're talking about when you say gospel. Is gospel the horse that you're going to buy from this guy that says, I'm telling you the gospel truth? You see what I'm talking about? We need to define this thing. Here's J. Hampton Keithley. Or Kethley, no disrespect to his name, but as best as I could put it. Okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ, This is his words. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Those verses say, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's Mark 1, 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 says, and if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we, rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, this is Apostle Paul talking, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Okay, there's the Apostle Paul. Well, I guess that blows that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alone thing out of the water, because there's the Apostle Paul talking. He's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John at all. That's Pauline. And he said gospel of Christ. So he talks about gospel, and you want to find out, he talks a lot about it. But anyway, this fellow, J. Hampton Keithley, which he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Mark 1:1, 1 Corinthians 9:12, or the gospel of God's Son, Romans chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, for God is my witness, who I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Okay, so there's Paul again in the book of Romans, and he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Mark, 1 Corinthians, and Romans, of gospel of God's Son, these two descriptions speak of the good news. You see that thing? The good news of salvation that comes through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the very Son of God in human flesh. Absolutely true. Again, this is a good news of deliverance from sin's penalty, power, and presence throughout the two advents of Christ. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. But you see where he put a subject of the gospel in there, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolutely right. But he also defined the word as the others did. Good news, good news, good news, good tidings, glad tidings. Evangelium. You see that thing? Okay, here's another fellow. All right, still in the introduction, still defining in the definition portion of our study, the very beginning, talking about the gospel. What is the definition of gospel? Not the gospel, gospel. That's the title of our lesson, the gospel, but the definition of gospel, gospel. Here's George Eldon Ladd. This is what he quotes. This is the good news about the kingdom of God. How men need the gospel. Everywhere one goes, he finds the gapping grave swallowing up the dying. Tears of loss, of separation, of final departure stain every face. Every table, sooner or later, has an empty chair. Every fireside is vacant place. Death is the great leveler. Wealth and poverty, fame or oblivion, power or futility, success or failure, race, creed, or culture, all our human distinctions mean nothing before the ultimate irresistible sweep of the scythe of death, which cuts us all down. And whether the mausoleum is a fabulous Taj Mahal, a massive pyramid, an unmarked spot of ragged grass, or unplotted depth of the sea, one fact stands. Death reigns. Apart from the gospel of the kingdom, death is the mighty conqueror before whom we all are helpless. We can only beat our fist in utter futility against this unyielding and unresponding tomb. But the good news is this. Death has been defeated. Our conqueror has been conquered. In the face of the power of the kingdom of God in Christ, death was helpless. It could not hold him. Death has been defeated. Life and immortality have been brought to life. An empty tomb in Jerusalem is proof of it. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Another well defined subject of the gospel in the scriptures. And you'll notice that he did use a definition of the word gospel, good news. This is good news. And then he went into description of what subject of the good news he's talking about. But the good news is this, death had been defeated. Well, see, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ earlier and the sacrifice, and then he went into death and said the good news is that death has been defeated. Is death, the good news about death, gospel also? According to him, it is. Okay, you see how it's very important to know what you're talking about when you say gospel, and then we just carry on and add subjects to it, and that's the way the scriptures is going to do when we get into it proper. Here's a fellow you might know, Martin Luther. Here's what he said concerning gospel. At its briefest, the gospel is a discourse about Christ, that he is the Son of God and became man for us, that he died and was raised, and that he has been established as Lord over all things. This much St. Paul takes in hand and spins out in his epistles. He bypasses all the miracles and incidents in Christ's ministry, which are set forth in the four Gospels. Notice he's talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He calls them Gospels also, like the other did. Okay, yet he includes the whole Gospel adequately and abundantly. This may be seen clearly and well in his greeting to the Romans, where he says that the gospel is, and then declares, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. There you have it. The gospel is a story about Christ, God's and David's Son, who died and was raised and is established as Lord. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. When it comes to the subject of the gospel. Did he define gospel? He didn't say anything about good news or glad tidings or things like that, but what he said was good news and glad tidings, the miracles and the incidents of Christ's ministry. And you'll notice one thing that he also did that showed us as far as definition of gospel. He began talking about the Son of God, and then he went into talking about the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then he transferred from their gospels to Paul's gospel. Did you get that? So you see, that's important to know as we're defining this thing, gospel. Gospel is good news. It's good news. It's evangelium. Good tidings. Glad tidings. Good tidings. Good tidings. Good news. Good tidings. Good news. Good tidings. Joyful message. Okay. And Martin Luther went through his description of gospel. He said the briefest, and then he went into the four gospels talking about that, and then he transferred over into the Pauline gospel, the gospel of Christ. You see that? So are all of them gospel? Good news? He was always talking about the same thing, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you study the scriptures and you rightly divide, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, all of them are the same as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you get into the Pauline epistles, and I don't want to get too deep into this about the changes that come about and things like that concerning the four Gospels, and then going into the Pauline. That's in our study too, but it'll show us piece by piece so we can put it together. Okay, but you see the difference? We're talking about defining gospel, defining the word gospel. What is it? Okay, but these men talk about it, and they also say the definition as they are describing a subject of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. There's one more, William Tyndale. You probably know him. Evangelium, that we call the gospel, is a Greek word and signifieth good, merry, glad and joyful tidings that make a man's heart glad and make him sing, dance, and leap for joy. Now, there is your definition of gospel. He laid it on the line right at the beginning. He didn't say what subject he was talking about. He said what the gospel definition is. It signifieth good, merry, glad, and joyful tidings that maketh a man's heart glad and maketh him sing, dance, and leap for joy. This gospel is, and then he goes into the subject he is going to say the gospel is, which he's absolutely right, all of Christ, the right David, how that he hath fought with sin, with death, and the devil, and overcome them, whereby all men that were in bondage to sin, wounded with death, overcome of the devil, are without their own merits or deservings, loosed, justified, restored to life and saved, brought to liberty and reconciled unto the favor of God, and set at one time with him again, set at one with him again, which tidings, as many as believe, laud, praise, and thank God, are glad, sing, and dance for joy. William Tyndale. He's absolutely right. He defined it. Signifieth good, merry, glad, and joyful tidings that make a man's heart glad and make him sing, dance, and leap for joy. Is there only one gospel that can do that and define that properly? Only one subject? Well, the main subject, just like we said before, we wouldn't dare diminish from the gospel, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. There's nothing for man to leap about or joyful about or to make a man's heart glad unless the Lord Jesus Christ is included in it, and we know that. But we're defining gospel. And you see where our beginning in this study was necessary and is necessary? So we see that gospel is the good news, good, glad, and joyful tidings, good and joyful news, a good and joyful message that maketh a man's heart glad and maketh him sing, dance, and leap for joy. Definition. We see that the gospel is that, of whatever message is being spoke of. And you'll see why we're pointing this out when we get into when the Bible talks about gospel. The definition of gospel is always the same through the Scriptures, but the description of what it's talking about is not. And we're going to go over that, and you'll see that. You'll see that. And it doesn't take away from the Lord whatsoever. Matter of fact, it adds to the Lord's glory. Okay? And whatever message is being spoken of. Gospel is not, listen to this, gospel is not a bad, depressing, sorrowful tiding or message. It is good, glad, and joyful. Do you see what gospel is and means? Now, what we've heard once, let's hear it again, and I've said this about four times down through our definitions, and very necessary and very true. The way we've begun in this study is in no way, shape, or form meant to take away or diminish from the Lord Jesus Christ, but to preface him and his truths. Without him and all the truth around him and his word, there would be no gospel, no good news, no joyful message, no glad and joyful tidings that make man's heart glad and make him sing, dance, and leap for joy. We got nothing to dance for, nothing to leap for joy for, and nothing to have a heart glad and make us sing and dance and be merry and glad and signifieth good. None of that without the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of it. But when it comes to defining gospel, to get into the scriptures, the holy scriptures, the word of God, we need to know what gospel means. Because we're not always going to be on the subject of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about gospel in different ways. And we're going to learn this stuff. Did you know this stuff? Did you know that? That's why we need to get into this the way we have. Now, having established the definition, let's move forward and see the things that the Holy Scripture declares as gospel worthy by their writers being led by the Holy Ghost. Then we'll enter into our study of the gospel proper and what the Bible says about the gospel. Amen? All right. There's the introduction to our study. And what have we talked about? Well, we began talking about definition. Definition of the word, exactly what it's defined as. And that was, it reoccurred through the dictionaries that we went over, and it reoccurred through several men of dignity and respect. These fellows, we went over about four or five fellows and seen their description of the gospel, and they actually had definition of the word gospel itself as they were displaying the subject of immense importance of all the magnitude of gospel in the Bible and mankind and existence, the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And we have I think we have established and we have set properly the beginning of this study of the gospel, and we will begin in our study on the next one, and we'll start there under this title. Did you know that there are 10 Gospels that are given in the New Testament? I wasn't going to tell you that until we finish this part, but that's the next thing we're going to study. We're going to dive right into the New Testament, and we're going to count these things that the Bible declares as being gospel. And there are 10 different ones. And it's going to be interesting to see. And we'll go over them as soon as we get back into our study. And let me give you these scriptures that we've been over today already. All right, you ready? And like I said, if you want them, you can get them off Barnhouse Ministries. They're already printed. Every bit of this goes right down parallel with our study as we begin on our study page today. And if you want them, fine. If you don't, that's fine. Here they are. I'm going to give them to you after every lesson, unless I forget, which is sometimes that way. So here's the introduction of the definitions of the scriptures that we used. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. And the last one for today is Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. So there we go. I bet you didn't expect that kind of beginning in the gospel, did you? But it's good, and you see the reason for it, don't you? I hope so. I'm sure you do. But if you want these, everything that we've been over, go get it online there at Barnhouse Ministries. And if you don't have access to that, just get a hold of me somehow and let me know that you don't, and I'll mail it to you or whatever, just however you want it. It's all, I try to make it available to in as many different ways as possible. But we've had a good study. We've had a good beginning and a good introduction to this. Our study, our new study of the second letter in the ABCs of Christian growth of the letter G, the Gospel, study number 7A. Okay, well, that'll be all for today. The Lord bless you, and I welcome you back for our second study, and we'll get into this thing of the Gospel. We've got it defined now, and we can get into the study and find more about it. And, man, I got that thing kind of loud, don't I? But we'll get in there, and we'll find out that there are 10 Gospels that are given in the New Testament. And we'll go over them things and find out what the Bible says for the Gospel. Amen? It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. I love you with Christ's love. And God bless you for studying and honoring your Lord and honoring His Word. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.